Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
Good morning, welcome. Today's Torah portion for Tuesday, the portion of Tzav, chapter 7, verse 11. This is the 7-11 portion. We learned earlier about the details of various sacrifices, the burnt offering, the meal offering, sin offering, and now we learn the details about an interesting sacrifice. Vizos Toras, this is the law, Zevach HaShlomim, of the offering of peace. And of course, like we did with all other sacrifices, we touched upon this sacrifice earlier in the first portion of Vayikra, but here we have a whole bunch of new details. Asher Yakriv LaHashem, which one will offer to Hashem. Within the peace offering, there is a specific category of peace offering. And that specific category of peace offering is called a thanks offering. And let me give a little bit of an introduction. There's an expression in the Amidah, V'chol hachayim yoducho selo, and all those who live shall praise you forever. V'yahalalu shimcha hagodol, and praise your great name, that those who live have to say Baruch Hashem. We have to thank God for all the good. Specifically, our sages say that there are four conditions which if a person experiences these four conditions and comes out okay, he has to say a special Baruch Hashem. And the word Chayim is an acrostic for these four conditions. Ches Yud Yud Mem. Chole, if someone, God forbid, is seriously ill and recovers. Yisurim, if somebody suffers serious affliction. And our sages say that the definition of this serious affliction is, God forbid, someone is imprisoned and he comes out and he's still a mensch. That's Yisurim. May God protect us. Number three, Yam, if somebody makes a sea voyage and the pirates don't get him, doesn't get swallowed up by the black hole. And the last is Midbar, if someone makes a desert voyage. Chole, Yisurim, Yam, Midbar. Illness, imprisonment, sea voyage, desert journey. If we experience any of these, and we survive it, thank God, then during the time that the Beis HaMikdash stood, we had to bring a special thank you offering. And it's a whole production, and that's what we're about to learn. Today we have no Beis HaMikdash. What is appropriate to do today? Today it's appropriate to give tzedakah and also to go up to the Torah and say the blessing of Gomel. That's where Gomel comes in. That's why today, for example, if someone, depending upon which custom you follow, but if someone makes a plane trip over the ocean, he'll say Gomel. And certainly if someone recovers from a serious illness, they'll say Gomel. Or other near-death experiences. That's the idea of Birchas HaGomel, saying thank you to Hashem. And the meaning of Gomel is, HaGomel L'chayovim Tovo Shigmalani Tov. You didn't have to treat me so good. I'm not a tzaddik, but still, despite the fact that I'm not perfect, you, God, were good to me, and I want to thank you very much. This is actually based upon a famous chapter in Tehillim. Chapter 107 in Tehillim, the theme, the repetitive theme in that chapter of Tehillim is, Yodu l'Hashem chazdo v'niflos al'ash livnei odom, that we have to thank Hashem for His kindness and for His wonders which He does to people. And then that chapter goes on to enumerate the various scenarios of chayim, of chola, of illness, of yesurim, of imprisonment. of Yam, of sea journey, of Midbar, of desert journey. And then it keeps repeating the theme, Yodu Lashem Chazdo, Vineflosav Bnei Adam. In fact, the Bnei Adam. In fact, there's an interesting point. And that is that many people, many Siddurim, there are many traditions, including the Chabad Siddur and tradition, where we have this chapter, 107, recited every Erev Shabbat, every Friday before Lechun Aranana, before Lech HaDodi. Why would we recite this chapter? So it is said that this innovation was introduced by the Baal Shem Tov. And the reason for this is because we say to God, thank you, God, I made it through the week. I survived the week. Because the rat race of life is dangerous. It's a dangerous place out there. Baruch Hashem for bringing me through the week. And that's the symbolism of reciting 107. And we know that as Hodu, which precedes Pesach Eliyahu, and so on. So much for the introduction. Let's go to the substance. Again, chapter 7, verse 11. This would be the law of the sacrifice of peace offering. Asher Yakriv Lashem, 12. Im al teido yakrivenu, if this peace offering comes as a thank you, if it's a thanks offering. And we also have a chapter in Tehillim which has become part of our daily prayers, Mizmor Lesoda, right after Baruch Shomer. The chapter of Tehillim, which is also a thanks to Hashem. So he offers, in addition to the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he has to bring a bunch of breads. Chalos, matzes, blulos, bashem. And he goes on to enumerate four different species of breads or matzes or wafers. Number one is unleavened breads, cakes mixed with oil. Number two is urikike matzes mishuchem bashaman, wafers spread with oil. Number three is veseles murbeches, and soaked flour, chales, made into cakes, blules bashaman, mingled with oil so that the dough is first soaked in water. These are the three species of breads, and the fourth we'll learn in the next verse. So far we've covered three of the four. Rashi. 12. Im al teido yakrivenu, im al dvar heido, if this is a thank you offering, al neshen asale, because a miracle occurred to him. Again, for example, yerdei hayom, those who descend into the sea. Vehelche midborius, and those who journey through the wilderness. Vachavushe beso asurim, and those who were imprisoned. Vechelesh in a snap, and a person who was ill, seriously ill, who recovered. In our time, included in that would be someone who goes through a serious surgery. Shehein tzrichin lehedes. They also have to say thank you. Shekosuv bahen, because the Tehillim in chapter 107 covers that. The difference between a serious surgery, perhaps, and a rather simple, basic surface surgery. The litmus test usually is, was there a general anesthetic, general anesthesia? General anesthesia usually requires a gomel, especially if the anesthesiologist was on sale. Yeidu l'Hashem chazdei b'niflesav n'yodam. The verse says, give thanks to Hashem for his kindness and for the miracles that he does with his people. The yizbechu zibchei seida, let them offer gifts of thanks. If for one of these he vowed these peace offerings, then this goes into this category, and there is a mandatory menu. And they require the breads. And as we will learn, this particular gift was brought, this animal was brought with 40 breads. 40. That's a lot of breads. There are four species, which we're going to learn about, four kinds of breads, 10 of each. And there's a catch. The expiration date for this sacrifice is the day it is offered and that night, which means that the guy has to take his breads and his meat back to his hotel and make a big party, because when the morning star rises, dawn the next morning, he's violating all kinds of laws unless he finished everything. So that's a short expiration date. Four kinds of breads. Chalos, one is called chalos, cakes, or the kikin wafers, or the buchan cakes that have been soaked with water and then oil. Shleisha mini matzah. Three of them are matzah, oksiv, and then it says that these three categories are brought al chalos lechem chometz, on top of the fourth category, which is a chometz, which is a leavened gift. So we have 10 chometz breads as well. Chomin umin eser chalos, each type is 10. Kach meferish b'menachas, that's what it says in the tractate of Menachas, which deals with this law. B'shiuron, and how big do they have to be? Chomesh sin Yerushalmis, 5 Jerusalemite saw, Shein vav midborius, which are 6 desert saw, Chofisoron, 20 tenth parts of an ephah. Murbeches lechem cholet bereschem kol tzorchei, bread scalded in water, enough. And now we go to the fourth type, 13. Al chalis lechem chometz, on top of cakes of unleavened bread. Yakiv korbona, he brings his offering. Al zevach teder shlomim, on top of the sacrifice. In addition to the sacrifice. 13. Yakiv korbona, al zevach magid. Shein alechem kodesh k'dush sagufni posel b'yotze, that the bread does not take on a sanctity in the body of the bread, where if it goes out of the holy temple, it becomes unfit to tful yom, and has to wait until somebody immerses in the mikveh milatzis lechun achi shachat azebach, until the offering is slaughtered. Once it's slaughtered, the bread becomes sacred like the offering. Now, what does he do with these breads? What happens to them? And bear in mind that this is a thanks offering or a peace offering. The vast majority of the peace offering is eaten by the owner and his guests. Say they have a big party in their hotel. And some of it is given to the Kohen, some of it is burnt on the altar, but those are the minority parts. What happens to the breads? 14. V'hikriv mimenu echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem. He offers and presents of those four sets of breads, there's four sets of 10, he takes one of each 10, 1, 1, 1, 1, so 4 of the 40, and he makes an offering as a gift offering to Hashem. How does he give it to Hashem? What does he do with it? Does he burn it on the altar? Absolutely not. What does he do with it? La Kohen, he gives it to the Kohen, so that the Kohen gets one out of each set of 10. Which Kohen? We learned earlier. Hazedik as dam hashlomim, the one who sprinkles the blood of the offering, or as we learned earlier, the one who was qualified to sprinkle, because it can go to any Kohen that's qualified to work at that moment, lo yeh, he gets it. That's one of the benefits of the Kohen. Echad mikol korban lechem, echad mikol minumin, one loaf of each kind, yitl tru malakein, the Kohen takes as a gift. Ha'evid avedosi, the one who does this service, v'ashar nechal abolim, and the rest of the 9 breads, or the rest of the 36 breads, is eaten by the owner and his party. V'osor labolim, what about the meat of the animal, the flesh, the meat, also goes to the owner. So that most of the cow is consumed by the donor, owner, and his guests. Chutz mechaza v'sheik shabo, with the exception of the breast and the thigh. Kameshim Mefurish Lamata, Trufas Chazim B'Sheik B'Shlomim, that the breast and thigh are waved and given to the Kohen. V'Hateida Kruya Shlomim, this offering, although it's a thanks offering, is also called a peace offering, and it has many of the limitations of the peace offering, certainly the definitions of the peace offering. 15. Now we learn, Upsar Zeh V'Hateida Shlomim, but the meat of this offering of thanks, of this peace offering, B'yayim korbono yeyachel, may only be eaten that day. So if the offering is brought on a Tuesday, and he gets out of the Beis HaMikdash at 3 o'clock, and he has to go back to the hotel, he has to cook the meat, he has to prepare the meat, and he makes a party, but when midnight comes, he's got to start winding down the party, because he can't go a second past dawn. Lo yaniach mimenu ad beker, he may not leave any of it until morning. Rashi of Sarzeh Bachteide Shlomo of Yeshkan Ribuim Harbe. There are many teachings here, amplifications. The Rabbis, this includes Chatas, the sin offering, the Oshem and the guilt offering, the El Nazir, and the ram of a Nazir, a Nazirite, the Chagigas Arba Osar, and the festive offering of the 14th day. They all have the same expiration time. Shiunechol Liyim Belayo, they may also only be eaten for the day and the night. And this is all enumerated in the Ezehu Mekomon section, which we recite every day preceding the Hodu. B'yayim korbone ya'achel u'chizman besoro l'zman lachma. The expiration date on the bread is identical to the expiration date on the meat. Lo yaniach mimenu ad beker, aval eichel u'kol alayla, but he can eat all night. Im kein lomo omru ad chatzeis. In that case, why did our sages say finish by midnight? Try to finish by midnight. Kidei laharchik odom ino aveder, in order to keep a person distant from sin. And this is what our sages say, that anything that cannot be done past dawn, we always try and end it by midnight. That's why, for example, the afikomen, we try and eat it by midnight, according to some traditions, because of the expiration time of some of the Passover service as well. The Shema should be recited before midnight. Many of the mitzvahs that can under no circumstances be recited or be done after dawn, originally, the chatchila have to be completed by midnight. 16, that is the category of todah. And I do want to bring out a timely, important lesson here, or interesting lesson. Being that the todah offering is one of those rare offerings which has within it also chametz, because 10 of the 40 loaves are chametz, are leavened, even though it's not brought on the altar, but it's part of that package. Therefore, the todah could not be brought on Passover, because it's chametz. And that is why, to this day, we recite Mizmor L'Soda, Mizmor L'Todah. After Baruch Shomar in the services, if you look in your Siddur, it says, from Erev Pesach, throughout the entire Pesach, omit this paragraph. Why? Because reciting the law of a sacrifice, reciting a hymn about a sacrifice, is like offering the sacrifice. And we can't offer chometz beginning with Erev Pesach. So that's why we skip Mizmor L'Soda. Very interesting. 16, again, that's the small paragraph following Baruch Shamar in the morning service. Now segueing out of the thanks offering to general peace offerings. What if his gift was a vow or free will offering? He didn't bring it to say thank you. He just brought it just like this. The day he offers it, he can eat it. And here he is given an extra day. So if he brings his offering on Tuesday, he could eat it through sunset on Wednesday. So that's a longer expiration time. And that which remains of it may be eaten, unlike the previous rule. 16. He's not saying thank you for a miracle. Number one, it doesn't need bread. It can be eaten not for one day and one night, but for a second day as well. As he explains. Meaning that which is left over on the first day can be eaten on the second day. Not that which is left over for the second day. You can't eat it past the expiration date. That which is left over on the first day may be eaten on the second day. Vavzu Yaseirahu. This is a redundant vav. Yeshkamel b'mikra. Harbe b'mikra kain ve'ele b'nei tziva v'ayivana. Teis v'kedish v'tzov v'mirmas. So, it's a what we call a poetic vav. 17. Ha'neiser mipsar ha'zovach. But that which is left from this meat, by yom ha'shlishi into the third day. So let's use our scenario. The offering is brought on Tuesday. He can eat it Tuesday night, and in this case, all of Wednesday. But anything that goes into Wednesday night, Thursday, Ba'esh Yisorev, has to be burnt with fire. Here, the Torah teaches us another law. We're not talking about that which is left over, but we're talking about at the moment of offering. If the guy who brings the offering says, ha, I'm not going to follow this law of expiration. My biggest crowds are coming after the expiration. I've got a good refrigerator in my hotel. We're going to have it later. That thought makes the whole sacrifice unfit. I would think that we take this literally, that if he ate of the offering on the third day, retroactively the whole offering becomes unfit? Absolutely not. The offering never becomes retroactively unfit. This law says that if the moment that he was offering it, his thoughts were to cheat, then the whole thing becomes unfit beforehand. Vein ipsil bashlishi does not become unfit on the third day. And this is the meaning at the time of offering. But this should not even enter a person's thoughts. And if he did, it becomes pigul. This is a very famous law. It's interesting that the thought alone of violating the expiration date makes the whole offering unfit. Therefore, if the thought was a negative thought, if the person thought to violate the expiration date, then anyone who eats of this offering is committing a sin because it's not a kosher offering. The whole thing became invalidated through one bad thought of the donor at the moment of offering. And that's a very interesting mitzvah which books have been written about. The idea of pigul, that the thought can invalidate the whole sacrifice. Continuing on in some other laws of this type of sacrifice, 19, v'habosar on the flesh. Ashayiga b'chol tomei, if it touches anything impure, these days we're not really familiar with purity and impurity, but back then everyone had to maintain ritual purity. If they became impure, they had to become pure before they could eat of the holy or enter into the holy temple. So if it touched something unholy, boy, she sort of, it should be burned with fire. V'habosar, and as for the flesh, who can eat it? You invite people to your hotel in Jerusalem. Who can come? The person has to be ritually pure. If the person is not ritually pure, don't come eat of my sacrifice. And that's why people maintained ritual purity, which we don't do today. 19, v'habosar shel kedesh lamim, of the holy peace offering, ashiga b'chol tomei le'yochel, which touches anything impure, may not be eaten. V'habosar l'rabbis eivish yotze miktzosei. This includes various scenarios. A limb which went partially out of the holy place, shapnimi mutar, that the remainder is permissible. Kol tor yechol, basar matam alim v'shinem adam tochachi yishofech. It says the blood of your sacrifice shall be poured at the base of the altar. V'habosar teichel, and the meat you can eat. Yochel le'yechel shlom el abolim. I would think only the owner can eat it. Therefore, it says, Kol tor yechol basar. Anyone who is ritually pure may eat it. So the rule is that the donor can invite anyone he wants to his hotel, provided that they have maintained ritual purity, which is a whole process. You need to know how to maintain ritual purity. They had seminars in the Hiltons. Verse 20, and if a person will eat meat from this peace offering, which is to Hashem, and he did not maintain ritual purity, if he's impure, big transgression. If he does it intentionally, then this person's soul is cut off from his people. We're talking about an impurity of the body. But if he ate an impure offering, this punishment does not apply. There's another mitzvah, but it's not koras. And this admonition is not specified. Our sages learned it from exeder shava, which is one of the processes of Torah, where we take one word and it is illuminated by another word. There are three times that the punishment of koras, which means the cutting off of the soul, is mentioned with regard to eating holy things, with impurity of the person who drashim. That it teaches us, one is a generality, one is to give us a specific limitation, and one is to teach us regarding the sliding scale sacrifice, that it's only about stuff that applies to the Beis HaMikdash and its holy things. And these laws of purity and impurity are very complex, and Rashi just alludes to them here. 1/6 of the Mishnah is dedicated to the laws of sacrifices and all of their details. An additional 1/6 of the Mishnah is dedicated to the laws of purity and impurity, kochim and taharos. And of course, we only gloss over these laws briefly. 22, God spoke to Moshe saying, 23, next law, Daber al bnei Yisrael emor, speak to the children of Israel saying, we earlier learned about certain parts of the fat of the animal which were offered as offerings on the altar, the sacrificial fat. That fat may not be eaten under any circumstances. It's not kosher. Why is it not kosher? It's from a kosher animal. Because it was dedicated to the altar. Kol chelev, any type of that ritual fat, even if this is not a sacrifice, but the fat from that part of the animal, sheir, whether it's an ox, v'chesev, or a sheep, v'ez, or a goat, loisei chelev, may not be eaten. So therefore, one actually needs to become an expert in fat to know which is the kosher fat, which can be eaten, which is the unkosher fat. The Hebrew word for that we learned earlier is chelev, is not kosher. Shuman is kosher. They look the same. 24, v'chelev nevela, what about the fat of an animal that dies by itself? V'chelev trefa, what about the fat of an animal that is killed? Meaning, not kosher. Yeyosa l'chol melacha, you may use it for any type of labor. The ochel esechlua, but you may not eat it. Rashi, yosa l'chol melacha, I would think that it makes everything impure because it's a part of a dead animal. That the fat does not make things impure, even though it comes from a carcass. Let there come the prohibition of the carcass, which is not properly slaughtered, and the trefa, meaning the animal that was not going to live for 12 months, and let it take effect in addition to the prohibition of fat. If he does, he also transgresses the mitzvah of nevela. Don't try and apply the famous teaching of one prohibition cannot apply once another prohibition is applying. If they're separate prohibitions, in many cases they can. 25. Because anyone who eats of this chelev, from the domestic animal, which is offered to God, and that's the part that's smoked on the altar. The person who eats is cut off from his people. And speaking about this subject, you can't eat any blood. Not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but in all your dwelling places. Including a bird, for the behemoth and a domestic animal. That's why today we have the process of koshering, where we kosher the bird or the animal with a process of soaking, salting, and rinsing to remove the blood. We also have the process of trebering, where we have an expert butcher, removes all the parts of the animal, including the prohibited fat that may not be eaten, the prohibited veins, the gidanosha, and so on. 27, kol nefesh asher techo kol dam, because any person, any soul who will consume any blood, that person will be cut off from his people. 26, Rashi, v'chel mesh v'seichem, all of your dwellings, v'fishi cheves haguf, because this is a personal obligation, v'ne cheves karka, it's not dependent upon where you live, v'heges v'chel mesh shoves, so therefore it's something that's observed in any dwelling place of a Jew. And the Gemara talks about what the teaching is here. Prat, this excludes ledam dogim v'chagovim, that the blood of a fish or the blood of a kosher grasshopper, because there are certain species of grasshoppers which are kosher, which we really don't know today. The way you know if your grasshoppers are kosher, they have to have an OU on their wing. Other than that, don't trust them. But the blood of fish and the blood of grasshoppers are not considered blood. They may be eaten. Verse 28, Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lema. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Dabra b'nei Yisrael Lema, speak to the children of Israel, saying, next law, Hamakriv ezebach shlamav l'Hashem, the one who offers his sacrificial offering to Hashem, Yovias Kabani l'Hashem, ezebach shlamav, should bring it. Meaning, he has to bring it himself. 30, Yodov tibienu, his own hand shall bring Esishe Hashem the offerings. Esachelev alachazer yivienu, he should bring the fat with the breast. Esachazer the breast, lahanefeset tnufa, to make a wave offering lifnei Hashem. And that's the ritual of the wave offering. That the donor owner, together with the Kohen, would wave certain parts of the animal as a wave offering to Hashem, similar to the way we wave our estrog and lulav. 30, yadav tibienu, shteyad habolim milmaila, the hands of the owner are above, and the fat and the breasts are placed in it, the Kohen's hands is beneath it, to manifim, and they wave them. They wave it together. What are the offerings? The fat on the breast, when they bring them from the slaughterhouse, he places the fat on the breast, and when he gives it to the hand of the Kohen Amenif, who waves it, the breast is found above and the fat beneath. The thigh of heaving and the breast of waving. Because it goes like this and then it turns over like this. After the waving, he gives it to the Kohen Amakter, who burns it. So now the breast is beneath. First the breast is on top, then it's beneath. He placed the fat on the breast. This teaches us that they required three kohanim for this process, as he explains in the tractate Menachos. Maybe why? He waves it, but it's not smoked, because this goes to the kohen. It's only waved. 31, as he says here specifically, the Kohen causes the fat to smoke on the altar. The breast itself is a benefit which is given to Aaron and his sons. That's their gift. That the meat cannot be eaten while the offerings are still below the altar. The offerings have to have been offered. 32, as well as the right thigh, is given as a heave offering to the Kohen, from your peace offerings, from the joint knee, Anim keres imaresh, which is sold together with the head, until the middle joint, which is the calf of the leg. So they take this as their gift. This is one of the benefits of the Kohanim. Now this is not holy of holy. This can also, I believe, be taken home by the Kohen to his family in Jerusalem. The Kohen who offers this offering of the Kohanim, or as we learned earlier, one who is fit to, he gets the thigh. The one who is fit to do the ritual. What's the ritual? The ritual is the sprinkling of the blood and the burning of the fat. Yotza, this excludes Tomei, a Kohen, who would be in a state of impurity. When the blood of this offering is sprinkled or the fat is smoked, he cannot take part of this meat home. 34, key, because eschazei atnufa, the breast of waving, and the thigh of heaving, I have taken this, Me'ez B'nei Yisrael, from the children of Israel, Mizivchei Shalmeim, from their peace offerings. Because the Israelite can say, hey, this is my peace offering. I got a lot of people coming to my hotel. Why are you taking my thigh? That's the best piece of the meat. I want to serve steaks. So Hashem says, I have taken that. And I have given that. The Aaron HaKohen Ulevonov, to Aaron the Kohen and to his descendants, L'chok Olam, forever and ever, Me'ez B'nei Yisrael, from the Jewish people. That's part of the 24 benefits that the Kohen gets. Tenufa, Truma, Melech, Umevi, Maile, Umaited. What is this? Ritual, He moves it frontwards and backwards, up and down, similar to what we do to the Esrog and Lulav. 35. Zeis Mishchas Aaron and Mishchas Banav. This is the portion of anointing of Aaron and his sons, Meishi Hashem, meaning the portion of, that is anointed for them from the offerings of Hashem. The day that they were presented, Lechayin Lashem, to be Kohanim to Hashem. I'm sorry. This is the anointing process, because that's what he began with. Asher tziva Hashem los Yisrael, which Hashem commanded to be given to them, b'yei moshchayis, on the day that they are anointed, me'ez b'nei Yisrael, from amongst the children of Israel, chukas elam, as an eternal, everlasting statute, l'dereisam, throughout all their generations, zos ha-Torah, this is the law, la'ola for the burnt offering, la'mincha for the meal offering, for the chatas for the sin offering, la'ashem for the guilt offering, v'la'miluim, as well as the special offerings for the week of consecration from the 23rd of Adar until the first day of Nisan in year, to the Zevach HaShlomim, and the sacrifice of peace offerings. Rashi, v'lamiluyim liyem chinuch hakuna, for the day of the initiation, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the week preceding that. 38, closing verse of today's portion, Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Bar Sinai, which God commanded Moshe on Mount Sinai, b'yem tzaveses b'nei Yisrael, on the day that he commanded the children of Israel, v'hakirev es karbaneim l'Hashem, to bring their offerings close to Hashem, to God, b'midbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai, end of today's Chumash portion.